This time, we turn your world upside down on Digital Bath Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Bath Podcast, where three out of the four close friends enjoy a few adult beverages and enjoy all things nerdy. We're talking about that pop culture sensation, Stranger Things Season 4!
Why'd you yell?
Because I really like that show.
I really like that show.
It's a really good show.
I call it Tranger Tangs because the Stranger S's Tangs are very slow to come in on the title screen.
They're like, Stranger? No, wait, Stranger Tangs.
So I just always naturally call it Tranger Tangs.
Well, we got Dakota.
Hello.
We got Chris.
Hello.
Hi, I was drinking a little sip of my Beach Breezy.
Beach Breezy.
Margaritaville.
I'm going to taste it. He got it for me since I helped him move.
Yeah, this weekend. You haven't tasted it yet?
Mm-mm.
Wow, you've just been holding on to it. How is it?
Oh, shit, that's really good.
Yeah, that is.
That is really, really good.
This is fancy pants.
I feel like I should be on a beach where it's breezy.
Right.
Go figure. And Jesse here with the Digital Bath Podcast. We're without Nick tonight, but we're talking about a little show on this little platform called Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 1.
Do you guys forget how big Stranger Things is between, like, when seasons come out? Like we've had, what, 2 years since
2 years.
Season 3? So did you kind of, I know I did, I kind of forgot how much I love it and how big a deal it is. And I was like, yeah, I'm excited, you know, for the next season. It came out and I was like, Stranger Things, everything. I'm rewatching it right now. I just restarted watching it like a couple days ago. I'm already like almost done with season two.
All right, Jesus, you're flying through.
Do you have a pin board yet? Like of all the things, like they said this in season one and it made sense in season four.
Yeah. Yes.
That's cool.
Actually, shit.
Do you have a pin board?
No, but I'm rewatching it.
They do though.
Shit is happening. Like is stuff that you feel like they are setting it up.
They plan from the get go.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. Hopper in the end of season one is talking about, because they're basically talking about PTSD, and he's like, yeah, there's definitely, I've heard stories of guys that, you know, have trouble dealing with that. And I'm like, oh shit, they've been laying the groundwork for him being in the Vietnam Wars. Ooh, in season one.
Yeah.
So,
well, so let's recap a little bit of Stranger Things in general. It's a show that takes place in the 80s, and it revolves around this group of kids who essentially find a superpowered girl that helps them get out of trouble. And there's some interdimensional travel and portals that bring monsters into our world.
And the government and Russia
are all at the center of it.
And it's about nerdy kids. And it's very nerdy.
Stand By Me meets
It. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Heavy D&D.
Lots of D&D references. All the enemies are named after D&D creatures.
Right. And that's one of the theories. Are they named after it? Or
is someone making them?
Ooh.
So the main kids, you got Will, Mike, Dustin, Lucas, and
now Max.
Max is an addition after second season, and then or 11, being a core member of the cast.
But Erica's becoming more of a member too.
Erica, yep, which is
Lucas's. Steve's up in the
Heezy. Oh man, so what a transformation with Steve being a fucking asshole in season one to probably one of the most beloved characters in the show.
Absolutely, the babysitter.
I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Duffer brothers were like, we had him plan to be an asshole the whole time.
You're going
to
kill him.
But it was, he was undeniable that he needed to be a part of this show. So we changed the whole end of the season. He was going to get killed, and we decided, no, let's let him live. Let him be the hero a little bit.
Yeah, they thought it was too complicated to bring Will's dad into the story after he hadn't been there the whole time. So they said, well, why don't we bring Steve to help with that climactic battle? And then he survived and had a much better story arc because of it.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, it's funny because I feel like the more the show goes on, the less I like Jonathan, the more I like Steve.
Same.
And I don't think it's the actor's fault. I just think it's the supporting writing that he's getting has been, like, he's fantastic in season one, Jonathan. Like, he's had a cool story.
In season, he's kind of creepy.
He's creepy, but like you feel bad for him.
Yeah, he's like 80s creepy.
I mean,
taking photos of girls. Yeah. That's not that creepy.
His brother's missing. His mom's going crazy. Like he's getting bullied. He did take some weird pictures he shouldn't have. But so, but yeah. So it's just funny. I feel like his writing's kind of tapered off. His Steve's like, gotten better.
He's in the show. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, there
he is. Sidekick to the surfer guy, pizza guy, right?
Argyle.
Yeah. Argyle.
Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah. Is the sidekick to Argyle. Yeah,
pretty much now.
And Argyle is that actor is playing the same character he did in Booksmart, which makes me just think he's a little one note. But
haven't seen it, so for me, it's the only note.
So are we. So do we just kind of want to talk about season four?
Yeah.
And where we feel that's leading in our theories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler rich, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We don't do no spoilers.
Volume 2 is coming out soon. So, I mean, at this point.
Hopefully, we're releasing this on the same day that Volume 2 is out. So, you know, in this order, listen to our podcast, and then you can watch Stranger Things.
Then you can. We're letting you watch it after you listen
to this. We'll allow you to.
Do not.
So, I mean, we have to talk about, right at the gate, talk about the new big bad, Vecna.
Yeah. Lord Vecna.
I feel like he's a mix between kind of like Pinhead and Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it's a pretty good
combo. He can affect the physical world from his own reality. And then he kind of like, he's not really summoned, but once he, you know, like, I feel like the vines and everything kind of remind me of like Hellraiser's or Pinhead's chains and stuff.
He is 100% based off of Hellraiser.
Oh, that's cool.
To start with. And also heavily influenced by Freddy Krueger. He invades your daydreams, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts you in catatonic state.
And he kind of monologues like they do as well.
Yeah.
You thought you couldn't escape me.
Yeah. And then obviously having Robert Englund as a cameo kind of, you know,
solidified shows the inspiration.
There are so many Freddy Krueger references in that. Did you guys notice the piano? When is it Lucas?
It says Krueger on it.
Yeah, when Lucas plays it, it says Krueger. I was like, pause, rewind. That says Krueger. Don't fuck with, like, my girlfriend and I were talking and I was like, is he just Serious Freddy?
Yeah.
And she's like, who's Serious Freddy? Who's this character, Serious Freddy? And I was like, no. just Freddy Krueger.
You know, Five Nights at Freddy's?
Freddy Krueger, but Serious. Yeah. And she's like, oh.
There's been a lot of Halloween references too. Like, there's a weird, like, lightning flash that goes by and you see Mike Myers' mask. And then also there's a Michael Myers gravestone in the graveyard as well. So a lot of 80s horror movie references throughout this whole season. Yeah,
Max is she dresses up as Michael Myers for Halloween in season two.
Yeah.
So they definitely have a love for Halloween.
But, you know, so talking spoiler territory, there's definitely, when you first see Vecna, you're like, okay, there clearly is some reveal as to who he was or is. And I feel like they did that really well in terms of, even if maybe you figured it out an episode or two early, the change of seeing, spoilers, number one, become Vecna didn't make it any less diminished if you even kind of had an inkling that that might be the thing.
The only thing I didn't like is in the very end where they like sticks out his arm and you see the 001. You're like, just in case you're a fucking moron, this is the same guy. Like, I was like, they didn't, they had to do that. They didn't have to do that. It's like, just for the,
it's at least not blatantly like I'm one. Like, at least they didn't do that.
He might
that
as well
is doing it. But the thing I thought was funny was like, you know, when he was sent through and then he's in the upside down and then he gets hit by lightning multiple times to deform him. It's like he's already going to get deformed from hanging out the upside down.
Yeah. They could have just made that like something he turned into. Yeah.
I did not catch on early to that until that episode. And then as it's revealed that, you know, the attendant, the person that's been nice to Elle the whole season is one. After that is when I was like, oh, wait. I think he's Vecna because they said up to this point, Elle's the only one who's powerful enough to open a portal. And then they've literally been training these kids to do psychic assassinations. And that's what Vecna's been doing. So within the episode, maybe like 20 minutes before the reveal. Yeah, is kind of when I figured that out. And then Amanda figured out that he's also the Creel kid. So,
which a tie into the whole thing you're seeing throughout the season is that backstory with the house and with the, Creed, is it Creed or Creel?
Creel.
The
Creel family.
The Creel family. So I think a really good use of flashbacks, which shows can really suffer from. Book of Boba Fett, for instance, I don't think did that well. It can be a tricky balance between seeing what's happening in the past and how it's affecting the current. And there was a lot of that this season, but I think they did it well.
Yeah. I personally felt like it was dragging a bit with Elle's story. I felt like there was a little bit of padding to kind of flesh out her needing the whole first go of it, you know, to get to her power realization. But I was fine with it. I don't want to be too nitpicky about it. So yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. That was one part of the show. Other than the kids being out in the desert and all that, it was a little, there's just some real slow parts where I'm like, okay, this didn't need to be a 10-minute long scene. Like, we can get this in a couple minutes, guys. Come on.
And they completely dropped off Mike, Will, Argyle, and Jonathan in the last episode. They're not even in it.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping that means there's something special happening for them. But that's just, I felt like that's been the weakest part for me this season 100%. Is their story.
Aside from a couple story beats and Winona being fucking amazing, yes, their storyline has been the weakest out of the three.
Well, yeah. I mean, Winona goes off with
Murray.
With Murray, and then it get their whole thing is great. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, the kids in California
that are stuck after
11 leaves and the parent. It's just like, okay, guys, like
the one-er with the shootout in the house was pretty sick.
No, I think that we're talking about after the desert stuff, right?
The desert stuff.
Yeah. Oh, everything. I would agree. I would agree. There's some humorous moments, but yes, it's like, why are we here?
And then the only thing that I find that really bugs me is Hopper and his damn ankles.
He's the indestructible man.
He's the indestructible man.
What the fuck? Just,
you don't understand. That's treating what us he's like made stupid. Of.
It's a little lazy writing. It's a little lazy writing.
No, you just don't understand Hopper, man.
Okay, so let's. Okay.
Set the scene.
He's a dad, okay?
Basically. He's trapped in a Russian prison.
It's cold.
And makes a deal with a Russian guard that he's going to get out. He's got to find a way. He's got a guy that's going to pick him up. He decides that in order to get out of his shackles on his ankles,
well, they check their shackles every day.
They do.
Twice a day.
For whatever reason, he has another inmate break his ankle.
Ankles.
Hit him with a giant hammer in the ankles.
Yes.
Ankles, plural.
And he's able to fight off the pain, essentially.
Yeah, he's Hopper.
And it somehow allows him to get I thought what they were going to do is he's going to, like, deglove his foot. I thought that's how he was going to get out of that anklet. Yeah,
the way his ankle's broken is he's just able to contort his foot to straighten it out. The most unbelievable part is that he does it twice, because he does it once to see if he can do it in his cell, and then he does it again while he's out in the snow.
Yes.
And then he runs around barefoot in the... Why is he barefoot, by the way?
He got caught in the middle of it.
That's right. He got caught in the shed because shit was going down. And
sprints.
Jumps. He climbs up on top of the shed with his broken ankles and then jumps off onto his broken ankles, gets on a snowmobile, and rides for, like, miles with no shoes on in the tundra of Russia.
The Russian cold is known to do strange
things. It just fixes his bones, right? Oh. No, this is how they explain it. It's that he's been so close to 11 this whole time that his ankle, he's now like superpowered ankles. That's how they explain it.
Oh, that makes sense.
The writers.
No.
Yeah.
Is that what they said?
No.
No. I'm just saying that's how they do it.
So we got some of the shit we didn't really care about out of the way. What are some of your favorite moments so far?
Hopper lost his daughter
twice.
You think he cares about his ankles?
Clearly not.
He's lost two daughters now. He's 0 for 2.
0 for 2.
That's one for each ankle.
One for each ankle.
He ain't got a third ankle.
He's going to take one somewhere else for Winona.
Some favorite part. So
I can't think of her character's name. I'm sorry.
Joyce.
Someone just gonna well, call I mentioned Winona earlier, the one-er in episode 4 in general is a pretty spectacular episode.
Yeah.
But the one-er in episode 4... They're in the house. The kids that the storyline is getting kind of weak on. They're in the house waiting for their moment to break free, get away from the government officials, basically, so they can go help Eleven.
Technically the good guys.
And all hell breaks loose. And you have this awesome scene that took a while to set up of these evil government officials.
The bad guy, good guys
shooting up the place. And it felt like a war movie when you're watching it.
It switched right quick. It was 80s action all of a sudden.
It was cool.
It was cool. And I watched the behind the scenes on that. The director of that episode talking about it, they did not pre They did not have the choreography done for that scene before they actually got ready to shoot it. So they were testing stuff out and they were figuring out what felt like kind of fluid and made sense as they were like shooting it. So
that's cool.
And then between all the different moving parts that you had to get everything right in that. A lot of times with Warners, there's maybe only one or two people to focus on. And then the other parts are just, you know, like bad guys getting killed, but there were like what, 3-4 people in that scene, 5 people that they had to have in the right spot at the right time. And then the cameras had to all move at the right time too. So no, that was really cool.
And Dad Cop, I didn't think I was going to like him, right? But he protected our boys.
You did. You're like, no, not the Dad Cop.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was awesome. Obviously the most popular moment of the
we can deal with God.
Oh, so good. Max running, and it's everything that you watch Stranger Things for. You know, it's rooting for a character, rooting for someone that's had a lot of bad shit happen to them, and seeing if, you know, they can win against these just completely stacked against them odds. And
somehow they pull it out, man.
I was worried. Were you guys worried?
I was, only because someone made a post like, episode 4 got me so emotional. So when I knew it was about Max, I was like, oh God, she's going to die. She's going to die.
She's going to be
so
with Billy.
I was pretty worried, but obviously she makes it
out. Anybody get a little misty?
Of course.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Sadie, Sink? Is that her name? Sadie? I don't remember her.
Max?
Max?
The actress's name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, we don't know her.
Mad Max.
We know Winona and we know Max. We don't know the name.
Did a great job throughout that whole season, really showing that she's a damaged young person that has some issues that she has to deal with. Mm-hmm. And that whole breakdown of her getting out of the Upside Down, or the nightmare version of the Upside Down. Yeah. I don't even know what to call it. Was great.
Vecna's corner of the Upside Down.
You know, the Duffer brothers have said before that they've always wanted Stranger Things to carry consequences, that when something happens in the show, it's not just forgotten about. And they've done a great job of showing that so far, and a big part of this season is mental health. And they set that scene up so well. I mean, you know, she's over Billy's grave talking to him when that happens, and then the way that she just lifts into the air, it's kind of spooky, honestly. It like when you look back on it and when you watch
very
it,
gothic.
Yeah, very gothic, very just, you know, I could see in like a Mike Flanagan show.
Yeah,
but the kids and Stranger Things are so good, and you know they care for each other so much, and what they were able to do, and you know the flashback of all her times with Lucas and with everyone, it was so cool as she like very took good. Off running. So.
Yeah,
that was a really cool moment in the show.
Extremely, extremely well photographed. Of course, you've got Vecna trying to drop shit on her from the sky, fucking throwing buildings at her, missing. And I'm like, okay, but you know, it's all about magic. Yeah, it's all about the running up that hill.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Vecna? Does he feel like a cool enough villain for the season?
I think he's dope.
Yeah, I do too.
The weird tyrant aesthetic from Resident Evil.
That's practical.
Yeah.
It's a metal gauntlet in there. And I have a lot of nerdy back information on this.
Oh, yeah.
When they were testing it, the props team, their fingers were getting destroyed as they were testing
within
it.
Within minutes.
And they were like, we don't know how the actor, and then the actor the whole time didn't complain once. Like,
oh, this is the shit.
He sat in makeup for 8 hours every time they did it.
Well, man, talk about that actor's eyes, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I liked a lot that you really felt like when the chip's taken out of him, he becomes the person he was always meant to be. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really, that changed him for the good, actually. And then when that came out, man, Vecna came out. And then seeing those eyes as Vecna fucking sold it, dude. Like, you can definitely see the act. You can't see the actor in the suit.
No.
But you can see the person in the suit. You know what I mean? And, so well done. I really like this season's villain a lot.
Nothing against that actor, but he kind of has a creepy presence, honestly.
He does.
I mean, he kind of proportionally, he's kind of a interesting looking guy.
And I don't take this the wrong, not, I'm not pointing at him. I'm saying don't take this the wrong way, as in people listening. He kind of has a Chomo vibe to me. Like, I was like, is he going to abuse Eleven?
Oh.
Like, he kept helping her and being grooming.
Like, I was like, he was grooming her.
He was grooming her.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was like, is he trying to get her into a room where he can...
Right. I was worried about that, too. And then I realized that Eleven could explode people. So I was like, maybe this is what triggers it.
That's what I was like. I really thought he was going to... that was going to be the arc, was that he was going to try something and she was going to be like, no!
I'm all about sharing different experiences on shows. And it's not that I don't think... written in a very well thought out way that they couldn't show that on the show. But I thought with Eleven, it's like, how much more could you stack onto this poor girl that she's already dealing with? You know, like you could use that for someone else. So
that was for a couple episodes. That's where my mind was at.
I was too.
Worried. You know, if I picture something that's bad that's happened to me, I have more power. And I was like, what could be fucking worse for a tiny girl?
Yeah. For anyone else that also was confused like I was. So as I'm rewatching, I'm picking up on a lot more stuff. I also recommend rewatching the show.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I think the next season's better, you go back. Each season, just as good. Even the first season, everything without any groundwork is amazing.
I'll be interested to see what you feel about season two after your rewatch.
Yeah, I'm fucking loving it. I'm already on like episode 7, I think.
I really love it. Three is the weakest season.
I love season three.
Three is my favorite. But here's what I'm going to say real quick, though.
Yes, sir.
So Elle's memory is her mom giving birth to her, right? And it's like, how the fuck could she remember that? It's because in season two, she taps into her mom's memories.
Yes.
So I forgot. So I was, Amanda and I were like, her good memory is her somehow remembering her own birth. It's because she tapped into her mom's memories for that.
Fucking smart writing.
So the interesting thing, though, is her mom has some kind of capability. So, because in season two, she's changing the channel mentally and changing the lights. But season four made it seem like the abilities were after they injected the kids with it, or maybe it's they injected the parents with it.
Possibly.
Elle was birthed by her biological mom. I know that's a weird thing to say, but as in the person that we see. So I'm just wondering how they're going to connect that.
There's a story apparently that's off to the side, like an actual book.
Oh yes,
that talks about how her mom was an MK Ultra, so they were testing on her.
Which, by the way, people, that was a real thing that the government tried to do. They literally were trying to create psychic soldiers.
Right.
That's what Metal Gear Solid's about. Yes, so go on.
Because I had to look it up because I was like, hold up. What if Vecna is Daddy?
Oh,
like not Papa, but Daddy. Yeah. Like, what if they, you know,
that'd be crazy.
Like, they were having him. But
that would have been crazy.
Or using his DNA to inseminate.
Like, he has psychic powers. He has all these abilities. Let's make him impregnate all of these women. Let's use his seed, whatever. Right. Doesn't have to impregnate, you know, whatever. Or
they have
mix
their ways.
The DNA.
Yeah, they have their ways.
I think it was the 80s. So let's not say, I wouldn't say mixed DNA, but literally like, use the sperm on that one. See what happens, you know. Let's do MK Ultra over here. Super sperm over here, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like. Oh shit, is Vecna her dad? Oh my God.
Yeah,
and then I
looked
it up and there was a story that's like, nah, it's just some dude who went and died in the war. I was like, oh, never mind then.
Go read a book,
loser.
I am happy to see. I was very worried that Lucas's character was going to take a turn.
Yep, me too.
Because early on, they really show that he wants to fit in. He wants to be with the popular crowd now. But
they're in high school now, baby.
And you know, it would have made sense if that happened. But I'm very happy to see that they made sure that he still had alliance with his real friends and the people that actually care about him. And you think he's going to betray him. You think that he's ratting him out.
And he totally
plays the super fanatics basically against all evil.
Yes.
And so I was happy to see that they didn't betray Lucas's character.
I don't know if he's going to, but I can't wait for that kid to die. Mm-hmm. I cannot. And they're setting it up. So you fucking hate him.
What's with the 80s and bullies like murdering people?
It was the 80s.
I guess so.
Let me tell you that kind of did happen.
Yeah. Those whites are dangerous.
They're so dangerous. Okay.
So the part surrounded where, you know, Eleven has the cops call. There's no, that wouldn't happen in the 80s. You'd just be like, where she hits that girl in the face with a skate.
Oh, that might.
They don't call the cops.
Yeah. That
hell no.
Yes.
He was like,
she broke her nose open.
She didn't break it.
That was the only thing I thought was super unrealistic. I'm like, where is a single parent or adult? Like this whole skating rink is nothing but children. There's a child, DJ.
I'm just saying, man, Friday nights over by my house.
Yeah. Not an adult
where the skateaway is.
Yeah.
I don't know where the children, where the parents are, but there are kids screaming and yelling outside. There's all kinds of, I've had kids come up to my house and, can I use your iPhone charger? Bitch, I'm Android. Get the fuck out of my face. I didn't realize. I let him have an Apple charger that I had. I was like, here, just take it. And they're like, oh, you don't want money? No, get out of here.
Get out of here, kid.
But I mean, literally walk down the street and we're knocking on people's doors. Do you have an Apple charger?
Damn, that's how you get fucking
No,
got,
but
kid.
I've got a preteen girl. You're mine now. I mean, it's just terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't, that's wild.
Wow.
What did you guys
so
think?
No parents around.
So no parents around.
Makes sense. Tracks.
The fight at the prison. The encounter with the Demogorgon. What did you guys think of that?
I mean, Demogorgon's back, baby.
Demogorgon was doing work.
Dude, I've always liked the Demogorgon as well.
It was brutal as fuck.
It felt like a good, like, it's not just another Demogorgon. Like, a Demogorgon is still something to be fucked with. Like,
yes.
that shit
something
will kill
to
you.
Not fuck with.
That shit, he will kill you. It will kill you if you're not prepared and able to fight back. So I was happy to see it wasn't like, oh, another Demogorgon. Now it's a mini boss. No, it's still boss level status. That was a cool fight between them.
It's still in there too.
It is not dead yet.
It is not dead.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very I don't know. There's parts of that fight where I'm like, okay, where he's like just
jabbing at it
with a little tiny bit of fire. I feel like the Demogorgon would be like, this is like a, come on,
what
man.
You doing? I thought Russian now.
Well, we do know that stuff from the Upside Down hates heat, so.
Yeah, I guess. It just seemed
like
a little.
The thing, baby.
I just thought it would be a bigger flame, maybe.
Sure, okay. Well, to be fair, again, I'm armed with rewatching stuff right now. Will wouldn't even get in the bathtub in season 2 once he was possessed.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even get in warm water. So, and remember, fair. Dart didn't even like the light in his little tank that he was in.
So they're like
yeah, so they
super hate
they
fire.
Definitely hate fire. So they're like reverse reptilians, basically.
I'm glad you've rewatched because that makes hell of a lot more sense. Like it like a searing heat right in your face.
Right.
Okay, fair.
And he stabbed him with it.
He did. He stabbed the fuck out of him. But he ain't dead. Put out the fire with blood.
Yeah.
Do they bleed? They bleed.
Yeah.
They ooze at least. Yeah. How do you guys feel about... I think one of my highlights, and just I'll follow up with the question I was trying to say, but one of my highlights for this season is the Joyce... Murray.
the plane. Joyce Murray combo.
They're like, it snowballed so fast. Like, she's like, I'm going to the bank. I'm getting the money. We're going.
It's
and then just with Yuri and everything. It's so good.
They're storyline so good. Especially like at the very beginning when he's like, don't break it open, you idiot.
Yeah.
Get a brick. Get a tree. Like he's like, he's really smart, actually, which I love.
Well, season 2, he's like, the Russians are here and nobody fucking believes him.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of comedy, but it's also like, wow, that was a really fucking good idea.
Yeah.
Like, Murray's fucking hilarious. He's probably the funniest person on the show.
And I start off every time, like both, is it both seasons? He starts
season 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, he is in 2. Okay.
In 2, it's Jonathan and Nancy that visit him.
Yeah.
They have sex in his basement.
Yeah. So how's the pullout game or whatever he says to him?
How was the pullout? Yes. And they're like, he's like, I meant the sofa. Yeah.
That's right. Every time I'm like, I want to be annoyed. And then the humor overtakes me and I'm like, God damn it, he's great.
Yeah. When he shaves his facial hair and he pretends to be Yuri, that was so good.
Yes.
Yes,
his kung fu stuff he's doing now is just like it's just like par for course for him too. And
the one issue that I kind of had was where he takes out a room full of armed Russian guards.
Yeah, at that point I was like, I could fixate on this and never be happy, or I could just try and let this go.
Like, homeboy is in the air. There's a shark underneath him.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going all the way over, but it's fucking close. Like, I kept waiting for him to fail miserably.
Right.
Like with Yuri, I thought Yuri was just going to beat his ass or something, be like, stop it, don't do that, you know. And then I thought for sure he was going to lose to 4 Russian guards.
Prisoner,
but no, he destroys them.
Yeah,
great for him.
And then, of course, Winona Ryder is fantastic as Joyce. And she's added a lot to the role that was never written before. So or before when they casted her.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they've seemed to have given her some liberties, I think, with this character. And she's the quintessential 80s, you know, goth queen. So it was cool to have her in first season and be relevant throughout every season since.
It's been upsetting that she's played the straight, you know, straight up 80s mom the whole time. Like, I can't just put on some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Maybe when Hopper and her get back.
Yeah.
They'll both make it.
It's the 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe. Ooh, that's what we should talk about.
Well, we will, but let's just round it out real quick and talk about the last group. So we have Eddie, Steve, Nancy, and Robin in the Upside Down. Well, they've been in the Upside Down, and one of them is still left in there. Nancy's still in there. What do you guys think about how that setup's been since Steve fell in?
It's been good.
I guess, like, the visually, like,
I mean,
Demobats.
It's definitely cool to see more of
the fuck have they been?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's cool to see more of the Upside Down. We found out a huge revelation that it's basically either paused or it's behind us in some way.
It is on right now. The Upside Down is the first episode of Stranger Things.
Yeah,
right.
When Will goes through the portal, so that obviously is going to have some huge relevance as to everything, I think, in the show. Based off the trailer we've seen for Volume 2, there's going to be some pretty epic moments with is Eddie the new character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie and which, by the way, I love that character.
Eddie
also.
Munson, which I think is an homage to Eddie Munster.
It has to be.
And
Nancy's a boss ass bitch, man.
Nancy's the Terminator in every
season. Nancy is fucking killer queen.
She's going to find a way to get out of this. Now,
in the trailer, it shows her she's in like army fatigues with a fucking shotgun. Like dressed to the nines.
She's the final girl. Yep. She's going to get out.
She's the Terminator.
Yep.
In season, is it end of season two? I think it's either end of season two or beginning of season three when Jonathan's like panicking and everything and there's that like creature chasing after him. She just takes that shotgun and fucking like ends it. I was like, yep. And it's just always how it's been. She's always just saving Jonathan's ass.
So Stranger Things has a history of killing the new likable character in each season. So a lot of people are speccing that Eddie's not going to make it.
Sure.
I think this is a perfect time for them to subvert expectations and kill somebody we really care about.
If they want me to cry, they'll kill Steve.
It will be Steve.
You think Steve's going?
They're rekindling that relationship.
Yeah, but what if they're doing that like red herring?
They're
making you care about Steve, and you're like, kill Steve.
Nancy? I never stopped caring about
Steve. Fucking kill Nancy or Robin. Just kill Robin.
No,
it's fine.
Don't kill Robin.
She's got ADHD. She wasn't focused on the right things.
I have ADHD.
What about the kids? One of the kids?
One of the kids? Who? No.
No.
You don't.
They can't kill one of the kids.
Don't say it. Don't say it out loud.
They kill Dusty?
Shut your fucking mouth.
They kill Dustin. That would be the ballsiest.
I'm not watching the show.
So here's the thing.
That'd be the ballsiest move.
I don't know who it was, but somebody had a good idea that it could be Eddie because you know how there's that little rivalry between Eddie and Steve because of Dustin?
Yeah.
And it could be like, and like,
Eddie proves
like,
himself.
Their final moment is be like, you know why Dustin always liked me more? And then he like sacrifices himself.
Either way, it's going to be sad because I like. Pretty much every character.
Oh, you're saying what if Steve sacrificed himself?
No, I'm saying what if Eddie does it?
Okay, that's what I was
thinking. Or it could be Steve.
History would track if they do that. Because the third season you had Russian guy that everyone really liked.
He just died like fucking out of nowhere.
I know, that sucked. And then second season you had
R.I.P. Bob.
Bob. Sad. That was a really sad death.
Bob made me sad.
Barb first season.
People really liked Barb.
I don't remember her at all.
She was fine, that's whatever.
A lot of people really gravitated to her towards her. Weird. I did not, but... She's got
a grandma's
following.
Name is Barb, so I was like, no.
Oh, it's cool to see that it's kind of Nancy's guilt trip, though. Again, bringing things back from season one to
And in season two, I mean, her parents still didn't know what happened to her, and then Nancy finally calls and says, hey, I haven't been completely honest with you.
Yeah, that was rough.
If they want to get people, I think they make it like either Steve or Nancy.
Or Dustin.
Stop saying that.
I don't think they can kill one of them.
He doesn't even have collarbones.
So, Jophis, a friend of the podcast, he thinks that it could be Will. And it because they're also setting up, obviously, he's trying to come into his own and whatever form that may be, we'll see.
He's trying to come into something.
I think there are bigger plans for Will. I don't think we've
We'll talk about it, but I don't really... Okay, why do you think that?
Because the fact that the Upside Down has ceased to move forward since Will's gone through the portal, the fact that he's described very similarly to number one as they're both special children, they're both sensitive. I think they're making a lot of parallels between one and Will. That he might have even had some type of abilities before, which is why Vecna was gravitated towards him. So I think there might be bigger plans for Will as far as the story goes, and we haven't seen everything that they've planned yet.
Do you think that he's the Mind Flayer?
I don't necessarily think he is the Mind Flayer, but he might be responsible or at least in some way connected to the Mind Flayer.
Okay, I can see a lot more than I've seen people say that he could be the Mind Flayer, because I just don't know how you set up how he's been outside of the Upside Down the
whole
time.
I think that's why the Mind Flayer has been so attracted to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he is the Mind Flayer.
It's pretty weird. We haven't seen the Mind Flayer at all this season so far.
The previews of the second half of the season, you see a piece of the Mind Flayer behind glass. I think one of the things that is very, very scary or very thought-provoking is that when Will was in the Upside Down, it quite possibly stood still. Time was still.
Mm-hmm.
How long could Will have been in the Upside Down? If he was in there for 1,000 years, but he never grew or changed, and it was just awful, I don't know. There's a whole, like...
We don't know how time works.
Yeah, there's a whole, alternate universe Will theory where he is the Upside Down, basically.
Mm.
And the things that come out of the Upside Down into our world are things that he's manifested.
Your D&D.
Yeah, parallel. Which is why there's D&D parallels.
So let's run with that a bit then. So how does that happen if Vecna was sent to the Upside Down before Will went in?
We don't know if Vecna necessarily is in what we know as the Upside Down, because when you see him go through the portal, it's a red hellscape, whereas the Upside Down is
very
our
bleak
world.
And dark and boring.
It's our world, but not so. There's like two clashing worlds, I think, on the other side of the portal.
They get there though, because are you saying where like Steve and them fell in isn't the Upside Down?
It is both, I think it is, because you see that red storm, right, that the Mind Flayer is kind of known for, but then the Upside Down is completely, almost separate. It's like that gray...
It's like a ghost world.
It's almost. Like a ghost world, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a negative...
Whereas when one went through, it didn't look like that. It looked like just kinda plains, like mountains.
Like Mars would look like on its surface,
or like,
almost.
Or like Mordor or something like that. It didn't look the same. So I wonder if when he went through, it wasn't what we know as the Upside Down yet.
Yeah, or it could be like an even more chaotic area, like next to the Upside Down, because
the right side left,
right? Because like
last house on the left,
like you're saying, in season two, the only time that it's like storming and everything like heavily is when the Mind Flayer is trying to get to Will, and so that and then when one goes through, it's super stormy, like to the point where it's hitting him, you know.
Yeah.
And so I could see that, and the fact that his house isn't actually there anymore, it's just completely destroyed. Which most time in the Upside Down, like it's still there, like the school's completely there, their houses are completely there. So
at what time did 11 send one to the Upside Down?
79.
So it was before.
Yeah, it was 4 years before.
It was 4 years before any of the other kids were involved in the story.
Yes, because 83.
Was smaller.
Yeah, it was Halloween of 83.
Okay, so she was younger then.
She was four
years
younger.
And then she was in isolation for...
Yeah, she was not allowed around anyone else after that.
Yeah, that's what they
most
said.
Most of them are dead, too.
That's why in season four, when she's a little kid and she's talking, she talks okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes into isolation for several years.
And they fuck her up.
And then she says shit like 815 for 815. So...
She's
got to have
515.
She's got to have some time to regress.
And
yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I didn't think about that at all, because she does speak actually just
very
fine.
Broken.
Yeah,
I thought maybe it was because it was her reliving her memories,
mm-hmm.
and now she has a better grasp on language. And since she's reliving them, maybe she's saying what she would say now. But I think it's because she hasn't gone back and she hasn't gone into isolation in that. It's a very weird the isolation tank in general. Not the isolation, but deprivation tank.
Deprivation tank.
It's just kind of weird because they're just playing videos and then she's able to relive the memories.
It's Minority Report, bro.
Bro,
well,
that's
she's been doing that the whole time,
good
too.
Good game. I don't know about the movie,
like
but the game was good.
I like the
movie.
Game.
Movie's really good. The
movie was
cool.
Good. No, I'm just playing.
What you guys say makes sense. Like, I'm sure, Will's got to be connected in some way.
Yeah.
And I do think, like,
Vecna could
be the one that tripped him, you know, and...
That was the other thing they were talking about. They were saying because Will... You know, I'll say this as a person on the outside of this. There's a lot of talk about Will being a homosexual, possibly, or being in that area, right?
Right.
So a lot of kids know it when they're young and they can't say anything about it because of societal norms. And this was set in the 80s, so you definitely...
Oh, you super didn't say in the 80s.
You super didn't say that shit.
Yeah, like you could end up being killed.
So there's a theory that there are different wills in alternate dimensions. The will we know is the one that's being cagey about it in the real world, and he's going to have this revelation where he's going to come out and his friends are going to accept him. And then there's the other will that went to the upside down, couldn't say anything, didn't say anything, and just became a twisted version of himself because he wasn't able to reach out to his friends and blah, blah, blah. So that's one theory I heard, was that there was two wills and you're going to find out.
And they both have ways.
Yeah.
So another thing too is that Vecna's, they're tendrils, but they call them vines.
Right.
And in season one, they call another part in the upside down like those vines as well, which I think is very specific choice of, you know, calling his vines as well. And then also, instead of him obviously dying, there is some organic life form tube worm snake thing that has burrowed itself deep into his like throat, down into his body. When
you mean Will's body?
Well, what did I say?
I just don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, sorry,
you never
Will.
Said about,
in season,
like,
sorry, in season
I was
one,
like,
sorry,
this
Will.
Vecna? What
sorry,
happened?
No, no, season one, Will, instead of him being killed, they literally just the upside down had put something deep into his like mouth and everything,
alien
and they had to yank it out. And that's where the slug comes from that is Dart and season two, because he coughs it up.
Yeah.
So that's also like they were obviously trying to preserve him and not just kill him.
No,
he's got some powers. He's got something about him.
Yeah, he can. He says it's just like it's a feeling, because you know he was literally. I mean, he was able to teleport into upside down, not willingly, but like he would disappear from Hawkins when he would go in there and the Mind Flayer was looking at him. So there's got to be something to that for sure.
I mean, I think he was targeted.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they didn't take any other kids at the beginning.
And I know we're talking about season four, but again, as I'm rewatching, like that part where, because remember Bob had told him there was a clown in his dreams when he was young, and when he finally faced him and said, go away, he never saw him again. And then it replays that as he's telling the Mind Flayer to go away, and the Mind Flayer just comes down and literally like invades his entire face. Yes. And it just, the way they do that's so crazy.
You're like, he's not getting away from this.
And then now they're burning where I'm at. They're using the flamethrower again on the upside down, and Will is literally on the ground like shaking and convulsing, he's screaming kind of like in
Invasion
of the Body Snatchers,
and
the thing it's fucking crazy, dude. So where do you guys think this goes? Like where do you think,
who do you really think is gonna die?
I think it's Steve.
I think it's probably Steve or Eddie. It's one of those two.
Yeah, I think it's Steve or Eddie. I think Robin would be kind of, I think her story's not done yet, so I think that'd be kind of shitty.
Murray.
Nancy's the Terminator. If Murray dies, I'll cry. If Steve dies, I'll cry.
Dies, I'll cry. I'm just
Yeah, they can't kill Hopper. They literally already
spent all season saving him.
Yeah, so, and I don't, it can't be Joyce. That would be insane.
It could totally be Hopper.
No.
He's already got two broken ankles. He's not doing good.
He's fine.
You can tell he's struggling.
He's got to get back to his kid. He didn't have anything to live for. Now he does.
Hopper was talking about how he wants to die, man.
Yeah.
But he doesn't now. He saw Joyce. It brought it back.
He's a curse.
So, and I love the fact that
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just love the fact that they always talk about how they knew each other in high school and how they were like friends then and everything.
Yeah.
I think that Murray's going to die.
Murray would be a bold choice also.
The only reason I think that is because he's spent the whole season saving people.
I think that prison guard's going to die.
I wouldn't really care.
I don't care. I want him to die.
But he's got to get back to his son who wants him to be a hero. Maybe that's why Hopper dies.
He trained Arya. He can't die.
I don't know.
A man has no name.
I hope none of the kids die.
So this is not the last season.
Right.
Right.
I think where this goes is some type of resolution as far as closing the portals, but I don't think it's the end of Vecna, and I think we'll have some revelations about either Eleven and or Will, and that will lead into whatever the finale will be for season 5.
So season 1, the Demogorgon is able to come out. Season 2, And most likely Vecna, his vines can come out. Well, we know his vines.
So you watched that first episode again, right?
Yeah. Well, I've, yeah.
Did you see the figure that trips? Well, not trips, but Will falls off his bike. Did you see the figure that makes him fall?
I didn't see his figure.
So there's a figure. And at the time you don't know what it is, and you think it's a Demogorgon later on because that's the only monster you know about. But if you go rewatch that scene, there's a figure with a giant arm, a giant hand, standing bipedal that trips up Will as the clocks chime. And when he's being chased, the door unlocks itself, like with mind powers. The Demogorgon doesn't do that.
What door?
His main door. It unlocks the door. There's a point in the I don't remember if it's that same episode, but there's a point in the show where the door gets unlocked by itself, like mind powers unlock it. Hmm. So that's not a thing the Demogorgon has ever done. It doesn't have psychic abilities.
No, it doesn't. It's actually very susceptible to psychic abilities.
So there's a lot of...
I'm with it. I believe it.
Yeah,
no, that is Vecna's been there the whole time.
There's a TikTok we can send you that shows
it's crazy.
The four different things where they're like he's been in all the seasons.
Yeah.
So first season, the Demogorgon comes through, right?
Yeah.
And potentially, most likely, Vecna,
the foot soldier,
the vines. I think Vecna is trapped in the Upside Down or wherever he is.
Yes.
For the most part, I think that's why he has to do the psychic tap. But so season two, there's the pollution that's pouring out into the pumpkin patches, and then the portals become easier to get through. Hopper falls in. Season three, the mind flayer is able to slowly materialize itself through body parts. Oh, right,
that part was awesome.
Oh yeah.
I think where this is leading is season five. I think the Upside Down is entering Hawkins. I think season five will be just hell on earth.
Yeah,
in Hawkins.
In Hawkins, at least.
Hell on Hawkins.
Well, they've said Hawkins is supposed to be a cursed town, and it's because, you know.
Because of Vecna.
Yeah, because of Vecna beginning. Upside Down, right? But they've said it's a cursed town. And
Side note, Creel, ooh, his eyeball, all pussy and shit.
Those are great practical effects, too.
Yes, yes.
And to think, like, he was literally blind, like, while filming. Imagine, like, not being able to, like, okay. So, side thing. Obviously, if you are actually blind, like, I feel the worst for you, but just imagine being an actor, having to do your job, and then like not being able to like not to push that aside is not important, but I'm just saying as an, you know, being an actor, like that would be really tough.
Yes.
Cut off one of your senses like
my, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole show. Cause I was sitting there, I was like, so he's just like kind of like Serious Freddy. Like he's all burnt up. He's kind of shitty, blah, blah, blah. He invades you. And then I was like, it's fucking Freddy. And she was like, what? I was like, oh, sorry. My girlfriend was like, what? I was like, it's Freddy Krueger. It's the guy.
Robert England.
Yeah, it was cool.
I knew he was going to be in it. I was kind of hoping he was Vecna, but like he's not. But it was cool that he was in that show. Yeah. Cause I mean, you can have who your favorite like quintessential 80s killer is, but nobody was more charismatic than Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger was the most fun for sure.
And I mean, he was a breath of fresh air when
he hit.
You know, when he hit, killed you and made you laugh.
I was a Jason boy.
Yeah.
I unstoppable killing machine, Jason, not early Jason, not
Jason,
not
3
mom Jason, yeah. Jason 4 or 5, you know, in that area.
Struck by lightning.
Got struck by lightning, brought back to life, had to drown him, and he still wasn't dead. That guy.
Jumps out
but
of the lake.
Definitely Freddy was second. Growing up, I didn't care about Michael Myers at all. Still don't, really.
I just love that. So, Mike, I mean, for anyone that's not fully aware, he doesn't have abilities.
Right.
He just, in literally one of the movies, he was like in a church or a building or something, and it blew up. And then at the beginning, the next one, you find out it like shot him through like the sewer system.
It's really silly. It's so dumb.
So,
should have a limp. He shouldn't be able to see.
Yeah. He's a killing machine.
Yeah. So I kind of gave where do you guys think it's headed? You said they're going to tie it up. So you probably feel a little differently than I do, or you think Vecna will still be around?
Right. I said that I think that they'll some way close off the portals and resolve that part of it, but that Vecna is still going to be on the other side, and that we're going to find whatever that connection is with Will and maybe Eleven.
Yeah.
And
that'd
maybe
be cool.
Maybe he doesn't even need the portals anymore to get through. Like, yeah, great, they won the battle, but they didn't win the war.
Yeah.
And Mind Flayer / Vecna. Perhaps we see a team up of them now because right now everything's been seemed very separate, even though they've said the Demogorgon's kind of like a general or a foot soldier.
Didn't they say they thought Vecna was a general?
Yeah. They're kind of like, you know, generals, foot soldiers for the Mind Flayer. Mm-hmm. We've never seen them work together.
No.
So I think that seeing those forces come together will be what we get in season 5.
Big oof. What about you, Chris?
I think we're going to find out that some... I really do feel like some version or something with Will.
Yeah.
Is the big bad. And I feel like...
It's going to kill Mike.
I feel like Vecna will probably... I think they'll tie Vecna up this season. I think so. I don't know. Because every season there's a new kind of... Well, I guess season 2 had the Mind Flayer, and then season 3 had the Mind Flayer on Earth or whatever it was.
On acid.
They killed Billy. Anyway.
Yeah, he's an asshole. He redeemed himself, but he was an asshole.
Yeah, I do not think he redeemed himself, but...
He was still an asshole, just like, oh, he could have... Anyway.
He didn't run up that hill.
I don't know. I don't think Vecna's going to be in season 5. I just don't. I don't know why. I think they're going to tie that up, and then it's going to be Will in the end is the... Unfortunately, the...
What's bigger than Vecna in D&D, I guess? Anything?
The world. Yeah, I mean, he's like the quintessential... villain, but I mean, you know, there's gods, there's dragons, there's some scary shit.
The will.
But Vecna's like the real deal, though. You know, he's kind of like the Vader or the Voldemort of
right. D&D. But even Vader has
Emperor Palpatine. Yeah.
Emperor Palpatine.
That's true.
Shut up.
Yeah, and Kid Fister. So, now wherever it goes, I know I'll be excited.
Really great.
Stranger Things is a phenomenal show. It's got all the right parts and mixtures, so I'm excited wherever it goes.
And all the kids growing up, I don't think any of them have gotten to the point where you're like, this is...
Do you want to hear something funny, though?
They're all good actors, still.
You know, Steve is 30 years old. Yeah. Did you know that?
Oh, I wouldn't have no doubt about
it. Yeah.
That always happens with the older kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're always like, oh, yeah, I'm 18, 47.
All I'll say is they're getting to a lot of main characters. Our main are just
they
cast.
Have said, and when you listen to this right before you watch the season finale, volume 2, there will be a death count, is what the Duffer Brothers said in volume 2.
So it's going to get real fucking dark.
So we'll see what fucking happens.
You don't kill Dustin.
Everybody have your bingo sheet out and ready to go and see.
He still got his baby teeth. Did he get rid of him?
No, he got
real teeth.
So
not that baby
season
teeth.
Season 1, when the bully has that knife and he's like, jump, or I'm going to remove your friend's baby teeth. And Dustin's like, don't jump, Mike. I don't need my baby teeth.
Oh, man. What a great ensemble, I will say. Like, the kids knocked it out of the park as far as their acting goes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, she totally breaks that kid's arm.
Yeah.
Just like fucking Vecna or whatever. Just like one. You remember that? She does like a little...
Yeah, she head nods and snaps the bully's arm.
Yeah. She picked up a couple of things from Vecna.
Yeah, but like thinking about it, that was in season 1 before we didn't know anything about Vecna. So they have been like seriously tying that shit in.
They've done a really great job.
Sorry, I just thought about it.
Of making the links, making things like, hey, remember that shit? It matters still.
Okay, before we stop.
Okay, what?
Robin's character is kind of annoying. I'm just throwing that out.
Not
there.
Annoying, but it's getting pushed a little bit more.
That's what I mean. It's really? Not annoying. They're just put... Well, you have ADHD.
Her eccentricities are getting pushed a little bit more, but I still like her as a character.
Oh, I love Robin.
Especially, I like her, but I feel like they're pushing it. Like, the first season, she was just kind of like, now they're like...
She was kind of a cool kid in season 3.
She was, but like there was a switch over where she got... She had, what do they call that, where you hyper-focus. Like, she started to hyper-fixate on things in her first season, I feel like. And now she's, like, trying to explain it away. Like, well, I'm sorry. I'm just different. I'm weird. I'm like, we get it. We know. There's some heavy-handed
things. It's a little too sold for you.
Right.
Mm. That's fair.
Like, we get it. You don't have to tell us every 5 minutes that you have issues.
Fair. That's fair.
Her issues is that she's lesbian.
Yeah, we got that. That was last season we got that.
Yeah, but I'm saying now for her.
She's explaining her ADHD-ness to Nancy all the time. She's like, I'm sorry, I'm just weird. Like, yeah, we fucking know. Let's
I love
go.
Robin, leave her alone.
She's going to die. Toast.
They're all dead. Everyone on the
they
upside down is dead.
They kill Will and Robin.
They can kill whoever they want.
I feel like Will is the most interconnected.
Well, L can't die.
Right. But no, Will can.
L's not on the list.
Will dies, he's the fucking... He's the center. He's connected to everybody.
I know.
Will's toast.
Mike, I will say real quick. Mike
is toast. Will is the one who's gay.
Yes. Yeah.
Mike.
Are you saying Mike's connected to everybody?
Mike is connected to everybody.
Okay, yes, I agree with you there.
I'm so sorry.
I was about to say, I mean, Will, yes, but Mike more so is like, was the glue.
Literally
everybody. They've really pushed that angle to the side, I think, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mike's no longer the central figure
of
this story.
Which I'm completely fine with.
Yeah, me too.
He's becoming a little shit.
Kill him. I don't care.
Yeah, he's...
He won't even say, I love you to 11? She could fucking break your arm, dude. Tell your lover.
Or to Will?
He's always been a bad boyfriend, like, honestly. And I know he's a kid and everything, but, like, he's just... always been a really selfish character, and it I mean, you can see how it affects Will, you can see how it affects Lucas, you can see how it affects Max in season 2. Mike's like, you didn't ask me if she could be in the party.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not cool. Like, so, like, Mike's always been kind of a shithead, so I'd be okay if they
shitheed.
Yeah. I just don't want Eddie to die. I like Eddie.
Eddie's cool.
Dope. And
Eddie's cool.
It's funny because some people are like, I like the angle they're doing of, like, where he, like, plays D&D, but he also listens to heavy metal. There's a lot of people that fits both.
It's like the same.
Yeah,
welcome to the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Like kids who play D&D, listen to him. They said he was based partially off of one of the three, the West Memphis Three. I don't know if you're familiar with that whole story.
Mm-mm.
In the 80s, there was three kids that were accused of...
For Satanic Panic?
Yes. They were accused of murdering a child.
Oh, shit.
And they went to prison for... One of the kids was very... very stupid. I don't know. He had a super low IQ.
Yeah.
And they
pinned him.
They pinned him and just kept on him until he admitted something that...
What? They've never done that before.
No,
watch Making
not
a Murder.
In history of ever. The other kid was kind of a weird, eccentric metalhead kid. And the third kid was always wore black, always listened to metal, was into goth culture.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you worship Satan, you kill this kid. And they put him in jail for literally almost, I think it was 30 years.
Wow.
And the state, I don't remember what state, we can look it up, but the state let him out, but would not admit fault.
It's probably a southern state.
They just said, you're not guilty anymore.
That's dumb.
Yeah,
we're not
crazy.
Wrong. You can't sue us. You're just not guilty anymore.
Shout out to, if you haven't listened to it, we actually do a full deep dive
Satanic
into Lucifer and Satan and the Satanic Panic. So check
in
out
June?
that Goldie.
I don't remember if it was June. If we did,
We did it because we released on June 6th.
That's right.
That's so rad.
I will say real quick about Eddie. I really like what they did with him too. Is they made him a sweet character, like a really sweet guy. Like he wants to be a mentor to these kids that look up to him, the Hellfire Club. He likes being somewhat of a leader for them. And then when he's with who's the girl that dies in episode 1? Christine?
Yes.
Chrissy.
You see a side of him that even she's like, oh, God.
And he's like, oh, I thought you were just some prissy bitch, but you're actually
I was scared
cool
of
too.
You. They were scared of each other. Yeah. It was such a really touching moment that, like, our appearances don't dictate who we are.
Yeah,
and
he's totally gonna
I think
die.
That's why.
No, he's going to play a sweet solo, and he's going to live forever.
Dude, he does grab that guitar. I'm excited.
People think it's Metallica, Master Puppets, and if it is, I'm so excited.
But I think it'll be something off of that because it's. I think he's going to play Nancy's. Not Nancy.
Nancy's.
Nancy. Yeah. I think he's going to play Nancy's favorite song to get
to
her
get
out.
Her
of
out.
The, to wake her up.
But what is her favorite song? It's Camp.
Master of Poets.
There you go. She's
that
like, I secretly love Metallica.
Bro, that would be such a Nancy thing because she's such a badass. Like, if they found that out.
They're like, what's her favorite song? She said she likes Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking rad.
She goes to Vecna and she's like, take a look to the sky just before you die.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. And just real quick, shout out to Erica, who was a total badass when they were playing D&D. I love what they've done with her character.
She cracks me up.
Yeah.
And again, they're really good at getting me to this point where I'm like, oh, this character's fucking annoying.
Yep.
Okay, you're great. I lied.
Yep.
Because her shit's like off the, for an 11-year-old.
It's so silly.
She's saying shit that no 11-year-old has ever said in their lives. But I'm totally
she says
it
with so conviction, though.
Yeah, she's
so
awesome.
So send us out, buddy.
Well, join us on Friday, whatever Friday
when
that is.
When we're recording this.
When we're recording this in the Upside Down. We have obviously lots of love for this show. We know you guys do too as well. So give this a listen, watch the show, and then we'll probably be back to talk about Volume 2.
Let's do it.
Once that airs, because it's going to be fucking crazy. This is the Digital Bath Podcast, signing out.
Later.
Let go, my ego.